Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. All right, now it's time to round off the first hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon by picking our Issues Etc. blogs of the week. Lots of people blog. They write things out there on the internet. And if you'd like us to start reading your blog and consider it for our Issues Etc. blog of the week, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the support page, right at the bottom of that page, you'll find something called a widget. It's just a little image that you can put at your blog. If you know how to blog, you know how to do this. You can put it at your blog, and if you have the widget, let us know where your blog is. Just send us a link, talkback@issuesetc.org, and we'll start reading your blog and consider it for Issues Etc. blog of the week.
My pick this week is Half a Dozen in a Parsonage. It's by Stan and Dana Palmer in Northern Indiana. It's a blog post titled Dead Ritual. If you have ever heard discussions regarding the worship war, so-called contemporary versus traditional worship, inevitably you will hear the point made that the traditional liturgy is a dead ritual. Yet how many rituals do we have in society? I don't hear people complaining about the singing of the Star Spangled Banner at sporting events, or graduates wearing caps and gowns and walking down the aisle while Pomp and Circumstance is playing. Why doesn't anyone call those customs dead rituals? The traditional liturgy is based on Scripture. And Scripture is the life-giving Word of God. So the liturgy is not dead, but we are dead in sin, see Ephesians 2. In his book, Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service, Dr. Arthur Just states, our historic liturgy, which we call the Divine Service, is a pattern of formal, repetitive behavior. Those who feel that our historic liturgy is an impediment to missions and evangelism will point to the formal, repetitive aspect of our liturgy and describe it as a dead ritual. But rituals themselves are neither dead nor alive. Those who participate in them make them appear as living, vital rituals or as dead ones. Said plainly, it is not the ritual that is dead, it is we who are dead. My pick for Issues Etc. blog of the week, Half a Dozen in a Parsonage.
My pick this week comes from a blog called Straight Schluter. It's written by a pastor who's actually been a frequent guest on Issues Etc., Paul Schluter, and he's written a blog post this week called Gospel or Relationship, You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling. And he asked the question, what is the gospel of relationship? He says, well, it's not the gospel, or at least not the biblical or Christ-centered, cross-focused gospel. That gospel is all about Jesus. It's about what Jesus has done to save sinners from sin, death, and Satan. The biblical gospel is all about God's gift of his Son to die for us on the cross so that we might receive God's gift of eternal salvation and avoid our much-deserved punishment in hell. The biblical gospel is about that gift delivered to you through God's word and sacraments. But the gospel of relationship, it's about your relationship with God. Now, this is tricky, he says, because the Christian does have a relationship with God. That relationship involves emotions such as love, joy, excitement, and even elation. These emotions are good, and they're natural in response to God's love. But that's what they are, a response. The emotions are not the sum and the substance of the relationship. Likewise, the relationship is not the sum and substance of the gospel. The gospel, in the gospel of relationship, instead of proclaiming Christ-centered, cross-focused gospel of Scripture, the proclamation is all about relationships. Now, that's only in part. He ends his blog post. It's rather lengthy one. I do recommend it to your reading. He says, the true gospel doesn't need gimmicks. It doesn't rely on personal enchantment or chemistry or wit or fresh thinking. It doesn't need a 40-day-long program to make it work. The gospel does what it does because God says it does. It makes us alive. It refreshes us with God's love. And then it creates in us love for our neighbor. The true gospel is a gospel of relationship, but it's God's work and God's effort. And God's guarantee. Read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. I'll have a link to my pick and Jeff's pick for Issues Etc. Blog of the Week under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. live this Friday, Colleen Carol Campbell will join us. We're going to be talking with her about something that this is, I just didn't think anyone would be this honest. Morbidly, fatally, tragically, wickedly honest. But there are a pair of moral ethicists, and I use that word ethicist with air quotes, who have recently written in the Journal of Medical Ethics, it's kind of the journal of record for medical ethics, that we should now consider, they're proposing that we consider infanticide. They don't want to call it infanticide, although they do openly recognize that it is infanticide. They're not talking about late-term abortion. They're not talking about partial birth abortion. These medical ethicists, again with air quotes, are talking about after-birth abortion. Infanticide. And they said, look, if you can kill the baby in the womb, why can't you kill the baby outside the womb? Come on, people. So we'll see what Colleen Carroll has to say about that. And then Bishop Keith Ackerman of a reform group in the Anglican Church called Forward in Faith is going to join us. We're going to talk about the imminent resignation of the titular head of the Anglican Communion, Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. He's been in that position for 10 years. He says he's done all he can do. He's ready to go and do something else. I mean, when the head of Anglicanism, 77 million Anglicans worldwide, is ready to step down, the big question becomes, who will succeed him? Rowan Williams was one of these kind of guys, more politician than archbishop, willing to go along with whatever the prevailing winds of doctrine were. I don't know if we should expect anything different for the next head of Anglicanism. We'll see in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Then in the last half hour, please don't forget and stay tuned, we'll play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.